Dr. Jeff Dwyer is the director of Michigan State University Extension and the senior associate dean of outreach and engagement for MSU's renowned College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. Jeff, welcome back to MSU Today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Talk about the mission of MSU Extension and how is it evolving?
So the mission of Michigan State University Extension, in a nutshell, is to take the science, the experience, the expertise that exists at a land-grant university, a great land-grant university like Michigan State University, out to communities all over the state. So by the metrics, we have over 700 full-time people that work in every single county in the state in areas ranging from health and nutrition to child and youth to community resource development and agriculture and agribusiness. And we're there to be experts in communities, to be connected to the university and bring the latest science and learning out to communities. But the real great thing about it is we're also your neighbors. We're your family members. We sit next to you at church. We work with you on the county and city commissions. And so we're a part of the fabric of communities as well.
And let's talk about many of the variety of initiatives you have. We'll give people an idea of the how many things Extension has its hands in, like the MSU Detroit Partnership for Food, Learning, and Innovation. That will provide an opportunity and education for Detroiters. Tell me how.
Yeah, so we're very excited about this opportunity. So we've worked closely with the city of Detroit in recent years, and we were able to establish a long-term lease on the site of the former Houghton Elementary School in the Riverdale area of Northwest Detroit, right near Brightmoor. And that is going to be the physical location of the MSU Detroit Partnership for Food, Learning, and Innovation. We are in the process of bidding out a small structure that we will build on that site, so it will be a place where people can congregate. But perhaps more importantly, it's going to be another focal opportunity to provide more SNAP Ed services, to create more 4-H clubs, to develop new and innovative opportunities in urban agriculture, to take our Michigan Art Share program to that area, which is already a vibrant arts community in the Riverdale-Brightmoor area. And so we're very excited about the opportunity to have that urban agriculture site, but to have it be much more than that, to have it really be a gathering place, to have it be a place where families can come and learn. We've recently hired our extension educator who will be principally responsible for that site, and we're thrilled that Naeem Edwards has chosen to join us. He has a great deal of experience in the Detroit area. He has a great deal of experience in urban agriculture, and we think it's really an opportunity for us to take the things that Michigan State Extension has represented for over 100 years directly to the Detroit area.
And Jeff, another thing, MSU Extension is recommitting its dedication to military veterans. You've hired a specialist, Adam Ingrayo, who is addressing veterans' specific needs. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, so Dr. Adam Ingrayo has recently joined our team, and we're thrilled about that. We've worked with Adam and his wife, Lacey, in their Heroes to Hives program in recent years. And really, in talking with Adam and working with Adam, I've come to appreciate, I'll say my colleagues in Extension have come to appreciate even more, both the opportunity and the responsibility we have to create mechanisms whereby we make our programming and our services more available to veterans and their families. When you think about the over 600,000 veterans in the state of Michigan, and then the family members that served with them, their spouses, their partners, their children, their parents, more than one in four Michiganders is a veteran or closely associated with a veteran. And while we know that they have often utilized our services, we've not reached out to them in any intentional way. And yet we know that many of the things we do, whether it's financial management or health programming or 4-H clubs that are specifically targeted to children that have had particular experiences, that we can be a part of the fabric of their experience. And what Dr. Ingrayo will help us do is become better connected. At times we modify programs or even create new programs to specifically serve veterans and their families. But we think that the first step is to make those connections which aren't there yet.
Jeff Dwyer is MSU Extension Director. Jeff, you mentioned 4-H. Tell people what that is. We again assume everybody knows what that is, and it's providing new opportunities in STEM, for example. Talk about 4-H in 2018.
Yeah, 4-H is a fabulous program. Before I had the opportunity to become the director of MSU Extension, I certainly knew what the clover was, and I wouldn't have been able to say what the 4-H's were, but I knew the symbol 4-H on the clover and all of that. But boy, in the last 3 years, I've really come to appreciate 4-H in a much different way. Many people still think about 4-H as an agriculture-focused program for youth, and it certainly that is a big part of what 4-H still involves itself in, everything from judging animals to raising animals to growing various crops and those sorts of things, creating gardens. I myself had the opportunity to buy a pig from a 4-H youth in Dickinson County through our 4-H program in the Upper Peninsula State Fair last year. So that was a fun experience. But 4-H is really much more than that. And so we do a great deal of work in STEM programming. We do robotics, but we also do things that teach in other sorts of ways. So I've had the opportunity to join 4-H clubs and after school opportunities where, for example, they're making boats out of tinfoil, and then there's a competition to see whose boat can hold the most number of paper clips. And sometimes they hold a couple of boxes if they if they construct them correctly. So I think that part of what 4-H does is it creates age-appropriate experiences in a variety of different domains, and it provides leadership opportunities, it provides civic engagement opportunities, it provides socialization opportunities, group formation opportunities that maybe some youth don't have access to in the way that you and I once did as we were growing up. Many do, but if they don't, 4-H is an option. We've also come to appreciate even more that how youth are educated today varies so widely. Some go to the typical public school system, some go to private schools, some are homeschooled, some have charter schools. And that diversity means that if we want to reach youth, we have to think broadly about how we're going to do that. And we think that 4-H is a part of the fabric of how we reach youth. This year, we have 219,000 youth in 4-H. It's really a phenomenal number. But we can't do it alone. Yeah. We have over 100 people who are full-time devoted to 4-H in every county across the state. But we also have 16,000 adult volunteers. Those are the ones who provide a lot of the hands-on experience, and it's the expertise of those 16,000 adult volunteers that really help to make the program what it is.
Jeff, if I'm not mistaken, MSU Extension has been in Flint for 100 years or more. Sadly, the city still doesn't have clean water, but MSU Extension is expanding its footprint there and helping residents recover.
Right. Yeah, Flint, we're, of course, all unhappy about the lead water issue and unhappy that the issue of having clean water is still not fully resolved. But we have been grateful for the opportunity to be a part of the experience in helping residents of Flint recover in various ways. I often say that along with the East Michigan Food Bank, we were one of the two organizations that didn't have to go to Flint to help. We had our first extension agent there in 1912. On the day the lead water crisis became fully aware in the public eye, to everyone in the public eye, we had 15 full-time people in Flint and Genesee County. We now have about 40 full-time people. And really what that's about is those people were already in Flint originally, those 15 people working in different areas from 4-H and the Companion Animal Club that we used as a way to teach youth about lead in the water and why we needed filters and all of that to people in health and nutrition and in our community development and other areas. But we were able to take that base of activity that was already there and get additional funding to do more of that kind of work. So we're not there to compete with anyone else. We're there to take our expertise along multiple domains and to grow it to the extent that the community needs. And so one of the things that I talk to our people about often is, I think the model of how we have engaged in Flint, that we were already there, that we had expertise across multiple domains, that we could bring colleagues who were experts in specific areas into Flint, and then that we could go and get more funding to grow our footprint there to the benefit of community residents, is really how we operate around the entire state. And so I talk to our folks about the fact that I hope there's not another crisis, but that would be ridiculous to think that there won't be one somewhere in this state in some time. But I don't have to care where it is, because I know I've got 700 really talented, experienced, well-educated people who are like sentinels out there and looking at, in their communities to see what's going on. And when that crisis shows up, wherever it is, we're going to be able to respond to it. And the other thing that I think is important and maybe is helpful for people to think about, and when I speak publicly, I challenge people to say, go home tonight and Google the social determinants of health. And you'll see a list from the Centers for Disease Control or the World Health Organization or the State of Michigan, MDHHS, or any number of other places, NIH, National Institutes of Health, and you'll have a list of the social determinants of health. Some of those are what you would expect because they are specifically health, but others of those are income, our financial management, our adequate housing, our access to services. And, you know, I haven't yet found an item on a list of the social determinants of health that Extension doesn't address in one way or another. And so we're really, you asked, how is Extension evolving? We're really trying to make people more aware that we're not just agriculture, we're not just 4-H, we're not just SNAP Ed if they use those services, but we're a broad range of things, and we're really about helping individuals, families, and communities become healthier in all of the ways that they might need our assistance.
And moving into new areas like your behavioral health team. About that.
Yeah, so this is really a new area for us, although it builds on things we've always done. So in our Health and Nutrition Institute, we have a number of talented people who provide community-based diabetes education, chronic pain resources. But they also provide a number of stress-related programs around mindfulness, around anger management, and those sorts of things. So we've really built on that to specifically begin to address mental health issues, behavioral health issues, specifically as it relates to suicide in particular as one driver, and I can discuss that briefly, but also substance abuse. So we have a team of people now who are training people in mental health first aid, and really working with those who work with people in different domains, like the agriculture community, like education, to understand the signs and symptoms of people who may be struggling and what we can and can't do. And it's I think, an important way for us to engage because, again, if you think about us as being truly statewide, which not many organizations can attest to these days, and the breadth of areas that we work in, our people really are sentinels in their community. And and when they meet people who they think might be struggling, they need the tools, but others need the tools, too, to understand how to respond. In substance abuse, we have a team that's developed a really, I think, important set of opportunities working closely with community partners to have community discussions about the opioid crisis or methamphetamines, and to talk about how, as a community, we need to respond and how we might be able to help, along with many other partners, might be able to help a specific community who's struggling with these issues. And it just begins there. I mean, we think through our increased work with veterans, for example, or through this work in behavioral health, we're going to find other areas in which we should engage. We can't just be what we've always been. We need to be what residents of the state of Michigan need us be to address the concerns and issues and problems that they have.
This is MSU Today. I'm Russ White, and I'm talking with MSU Extension Director Jeff Dwyer Agriculture, obviously a big part of the state of Michigan. We have the second most diverse agriculture, only to California. You continue to help farmers and agribusiness professionals with research-based production recommendations and resources, and you're reaching them in new ways.
We really are. So one of the things I'm most pleased about is that the area in which we have had the greatest growth in the last 3 to 4 years is agriculture. We've hired nearly 20 extension educators and specialists in very specific areas that are identified by our partners in commodity groups, our partners who are farmers, and all of those sorts of things. And one of the things I'm thrilled about is that the quality of people that apply for these positions, and therefore that we ultimately get to choose from these high-quality pools, people who will provide the best service, is very high. And the feedback we're getting with respect to a lot of these new people we hired, together with the good people we've had for a long time, has really been terrific. And so I'm certainly proud of that. But more importantly, I think that it reflects the work that we've all done together, those in agriculture, extension, and other partners, to say, here's a gap that needs to be filled. How can we go out and find an outstanding person who can help us fill that gap? And I think that's an important role that extension can play in a lot of domains. I'm particularly pleased that we've been able to do that recently in agriculture. But it's other things, too, like going back to our mental health discussion and our behavioral health discussion. We've taken some of that work and particularly targeted what we're calling farm stress. A couple of years ago, Gordon Wank, now the director of MDARD, called me, and we had noticed this as well, and said, you know, we're noticing an uptick in suicides and attempted suicides in agriculture. Commodity prices are low in some areas of agriculture. There are other challenges out there. People are having a very difficult time. Is there anything that you can do? And this is a good example of many of our agriculture partners had no idea that we had these experts in health and mental health and behavioral health. And so we were, in a matter of weeks, able to take programming we were already doing, modify it to the extent that it could be made specific to the needs of people in agriculture, and we were on the ground providing that programming. And that has really become a much expanded program where we're certainly providing that directly to farmers and farm families, but we're also providing it to those who work in agriculture. So one of our extension educators, Suzanne Pish, who has been a lead person in this program, talked about she also farms. She comes from a farming family. Her dad milks 200 cows a day. And when we were talking about how to respond, she said, she looked up at me and she said, you know, if we want to talk to people who are going to know what's going on, we need to talk to people like the milk hauler. Because the person that my dad talks to every single day is the milk hauler who comes to his farm to pick up his milk. And I think that's a really insightful comment, right? So how do we take this awareness, how do we create awareness so that if everyone from the milk hauler to the on-site farm inspector to the milk inspector to people who work at Greenstone and Farm Bureau and others just have their antennae out there and are aware of what's going on. And if they see someone that they sense is in trouble, give them the tools to ask the kinds of questions that would help us to follow up.
Dr. Jeff Dwyer, how does your role as Senior Associate Dean of Outreach and Engagement for the MSU College of Agriculture and Natural Resources complement your role as Director of MSU Extension?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I really think that Extension is all about outreach and engagement, but what I appreciate about having that title and role in the College of Ag and Natural Resources, of course, with the full support of Dean Ron Hendrick and my colleague Doug Bueller at Ag Bio Research and others throughout the college, leaders and chairs and that sort of thing, is I think it's an explicit acknowledgement that we need to every day be doing what we can do to get what we're learning, what we're experiencing out to people across the state. This is a great and wonderful campus, but if what we learn stops at the edges of this several hundred acre environment, we're not doing our jobs. And I think health is a great example. I think that as we talk about the social determinants of health, for example, it becomes an opportunity for everyone in the College of Ag and Natural Resources, and I would argue everyone at Michigan State University, to think about how they're impacting the health of individuals, families, and communities, because they are doing it. It's just not often thought of in a health context, right?
Right.
And so I think the role of Senior Associate Dean of Outreach and Engagement in the College of Ag and Natural Resources, I think, is a reflection of the focus of leadership in the college on really taking what we do out to communities across the state, the country, and frankly, the world on a regular basis.
Jeff, you've been in higher education a long time. I'm curious what you see as the challenges and opportunities for MSU Extension moving forward.
It's a great question. So let me say that I've had the privilege of having a number of positions that I enjoyed and where I thought I could have an impact. But boy, being the director of MSU Extension is really a terrific opportunity for me personally, and one that every day I wake up thinking about what can I do to help make a difference. And the thing is, I'm in an organization that is making a difference every day. And so it's really a privilege for me to be in this role. I think that going forward, we really need to be thinking in extension about two things. And we are beginning to work in both directions, but I think it's important that we do more. One, which surprises some people, is we need to do more on campus for people to understand what MSU Extension is. So it is still the case that many on campus even don't know MSU Extension or the breadth of what we do. One of the ways we've been tackling that is we do speed meetings two or three times a year, where in a couple of hours we have 8 or 10 educators do very brief presentations about what we do. And we've had as many as nearly 100 faculty in the room learning about extension. And the beauty of that is my extension folks are the people they need on their grants to be successful. And we've been doing this for a couple of years now, and we actually have funded grants from NIH or CDC or other funders nationally that we're certainly not going to say, because it wouldn't be true, that we're the reason that particular faculty member or scientist was successful in getting the grant. But I think they would say that we were part of the reason, because we are engaged in communities. We have this expertise, and we can go out and help them do what they may not be expert at. So I think more and better engagement on campus is part of our future, because that's how we're going to help people. That's how we're going to help make research more connected to individuals in communities. That's how we're going to get more diverse pools into research studies, which remains an issue in biomedical research, for example. I think the other thing we need to do, and I was at a veterans assistant event in Iron Mountain recently, and there were about 150 people in the room. And I said, how many people are aware of MSU Extension? And only 5 or 6 hands went up. And I told them that my goal was that by the next year when I'm there, that every hand goes up. Because I think that, and I'm obviously biased in saying what I'm about to say, but I think MSU Extension, and specifically the people that are a part of MSU Extension, are remarkable. And they have experiences, expertise, and training that people need. And so we need more people to know that we exist. We're not going to force them to make use of our programming, but they ought to know that it's there. And I think that's the other big thing. So we need to work in both directions. We need to work on campus, because we can be a part of building science and building outcomes in a variety of domains that are going to attack those social determinants of health in a more appropriate way for people in communities. And we also need to let people in communities know that we're there, that we can help them. And if we're not today doing something that they need, we're going to work harder to make sure that we fill that gap.
Hear, hear. Jeff, finally, and I know we could have a 3-day conference on this, but higher education in general, what are you optimistic about? What concerns you, again, sort of challenges and opportunities?
Higher education today, I think we need to continually refine our educational offerings in ways that people find meaningful. And an example I'll give you is in agriculture, for example. It's terrific when we find those people who want to get a bachelor's degree in a particular area of animal science or entomology, and maybe even go on to a master's degree or PhD. We need those people, and we need the expertise that they will obtain in that process. But we haven't always been as attentive to those who maybe don't have that aspiration, or for whatever set of reasons, that's not a goal that they have. And so I'm particularly proud, for example, of our Institute for Ag Technology and the work that, Randy Showerman and Kelly Millenbaugh, Associate Dean in the College of Ag and Natural Resources, have done to really grow that program in recent years, and particularly grow it by partnering with community colleges in a way that I think is essential, because I think this is an opportunity for us, again, to reach out and bring the expertise of Michigan State University by partnering with community colleges directly to those communities all over the state. So I think that kind of work is very important, and really thinking about how we can repackage what we do at a great university like Michigan State University, working with partners to provide education that people need. Because some people in ag their aspirations may only require an associate's degree, for example. Or they may get that associate's degree because it became available in partnership between a community college and MSU, and they choose to go on, a choice they might not have made previously. So I think that's one thing. I think another thing that we need to continue to do is use higher education as a platform to develop leaders who are going to go out and be part of communities, not just in the area of expertise that they've become educated in, but leaders in the sense of really helping us move as communities, as cities, as counties, as a state, and as a country in the direction that we need to go. And I think that a lot of that these days has to do with how do we have thoughtful and meaningful conversations with people? How do we learn to engage with people that aren't like us? And I think that there is opportunity in higher education in the most positive way, to use the platform we have, to use the fact at Michigan State that we have 50,000 of these really bright young people. And I think there are parts of being educated not reflected in credit hours that we have an opportunity to focus on, and it will make for a better world going forward.
Well said. Dr. Jeff Dwyer, Director of Michigan State University Extension and the Senior Associate Dean of Outreach and Engagement for MSU's renowned College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. And everything we've talked about, check us out online, msue.msu.edu, or just Google MSU Extension.
That's
and
right.
Jeff, before I let you go, we're going to be seeing more of each other, because you are going to be talking with so many of these great people in MSU Extension. And however people are listening to our conversation online or over the air, they will be hearing more from you in a few weeks. Tell us about partnerships and peninsulas.
Well, we are very grateful for your assistance in this process, but we have developed a podcast called Partnerships and Peninsulas that I host, and it's an opportunity for us both in studio and out in the field to talk to our talented educators and specialists around the state about the specific things we do. And so we've talked to Adam Ingrao, our veterans liaison specialist, and his work in Heroes to Hives and his work with us in connecting to the veterans community. We've talked to Julie Chapin, recent retired 4-H state director, about 4-H. We've talked to Suzanne Pish about the Farm Stress Program. And so those are just a few examples of the talent we have and the topics that we cover. And we want to use partnerships and peninsulas to really address that issue of how do we get more people to know about MSU Extension, know how to reach out to us, so that we can do what we want to do every day, and that is meet the needs of citizens of the state of Michigan.
So listen for these conversations coming up. And again, msue.msu.edu for more. Dr. Jeff Dwyer, thanks for a great conversation.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today.